Hebrews. And today we're going to talk about a spiritual desert. And there's actually a connection between the two. So what is a desert? A desert is a dry, barren area of land with very little rain and few plants. Usually a desert gets less than 10 inches of rain per year. And a desert is not a pleasant place to stay. So Dan and I were in the Sahara Desert 8 years ago. And it was hot. And the sand burned our feet. And the wind made the sand just painful. As it hit our skin and our eyes, you could just see the sand that was just in the air. And to me, the desert seemed like a very lonely place. Dan's on the first camel. The guy didn't trust us to take the camels by ourselves. He led us around. So what is a spiritual desert? We usually think of trials and hardships that expose our character, break down our ego, test the strength of our faith. And in the silence and in isolation of our spiritual desert, we pause to hear the voice of God. And a sense of abandonment often precedes profound spiritual growth. We cry out, God, where are you? And as we seek him, God reveals himself to us. I think it's safe to say that we don't like these spiritual dry and quiet times. The trials that hurt and stretch us. But how does God see the desert? You know, we look in the Bible and there is a lot of talk about the desert. Sometimes it calls it the wilderness. And you know, the wilderness can be different things depending on where you're at. But Wayne and I were talking about in the Bible, when it talks about wilderness, it's usually talking about a desert. The desert strips away human self-reliance. God uses dry seasons to test motives, refine faith, and clean out hidden pride or fear. It is the training ground where God trains his servants before launching them into their ultimate purpose. And so this morning we're going to look at a few people in the Bible that had a season in the desert. And first and foremost, there is our perfect example, Jesus. And we all know that Jesus went into the desert to fast and to pray for 40 days. He faced intense temptation by Satan. And he showed us that God's strength sustains us even when we feel weak, isolated, or surrounded by danger. And he left his wilderness time quoting scripture that showed his wisdom. And Jesus had this wilderness time before his public ministry began. I just think that speaks so much about how that wilderness season is important. Moses spent 40 quiet years tending sheep in the wilderness before God spoke to him through a burning bush that would not be consumed. And this isn't in my notes, but I was thinking, you know, when Moses saw the peril that the Israelites were in, before he heard from God, he tried to solve it on his own. Do you remember? And he killed that man on the sand, and then he tried to cover it up. And sometimes we act before we've been refined. And God needs to take us to the wilderness and refine us, and we hear from him, and we do it his way. Because so many times our ways, it just fail. And after this dry season that Moses had, then God was ready to show Moses the plan of how he would lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And that's such an adventurous story, right? Like, Moses never would have come up with that very detailed plan all on his own. It was all God. And then there's Elijah. He fled to the desert in deep despair, and he said, "I have had enough, Lord." How many times have we said that in our own way? I have had enough, Lord. Go into the wilderness. And so God would speak to Elijah in a gentle whisper and say, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And after Elijah had rested, I mean, when I say rested, he literally had some warm bread, a jug of water, and a good night's sleep. My husband will tell you that there are days where I need a Snickers and a nap. That commercial is so true. But no, that's what he did. He had a rest, and then the Lord sent him back to continue the work that God had for him. He didn't get out of it just because he said he gave up. And of course, there are the Israelites. And they had to wander around the desert for 40 years to get to the promised land. And much of that time, they spent whining and being disobedient. And I get it. The desert is the desert season. It's hard. But God was still with them. And he showed them miracles. He taught them so many lessons. He provided manna and quail and water from a rock. And so even though they were whining, God was still right there, right? And I also really want to look at John the Baptist this morning. And for those of you that are just starting your study of the Bible, John the Baptist is not John the disciple. Those are two different people. John the Baptist was a cousin of Jesus, and he recognized Jesus before they were even born. And we know this because when the pregnant Mary visited the pregnant Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was the mother of John the Baptist, John leaped in his mother's womb when Mary arrived and greeted them. And I think that's such a beautiful story. All of John's life had been around Jesus, right? John's mission in life was so clear. He was the messenger sent ahead of Jesus to prepare the way. And for years, he lived a humble life in the wilderness. He dressed in camel hair skins and a leather belt, and he was eating locusts and wild honey. And he was telling people to repent, and he was baptizing people. In Matthew 3, 1 through 3, it says, "In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.' This is he who was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.'" And that is our scripture verse for today, and it's on the front of your bulletin, I think. Oh, yes, it is. Thank you, Roxanne. So this is John's race set before him, like the race that we talked about in Hebrews last week. The race set before us. It was prophesied about. John recognized Jesus before they were born. John was living out his mission humbly. And yet, in both Matthew and Luke, something slightly odd is recorded. John the Baptist is in jail, and he asked a couple of the disciples to go to Jesus and ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Wow. This is after John had been doing ministry for so long and baptizing people. And then we're like, what is this question? Now, many scholars view this as a moment of human doubt and confusion caused by John's imprisonment or maybe unmet expectations of a conquering Messiah. Others interpret this as a prompt for the disciples to focus on Jesus' ministry. But let's look at Jesus' response. Jesus said, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." And then Jesus spoke to the crowd about John. And he said, "What did you go out to the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, did you go out to see a man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury, they're in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. John is the man to whom the scriptures refer when they say, 'Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way before you.'" And that's found in Malachi 3:1 for your reference. So what an interesting story. We don't know exactly why John asked that, but it's recorded twice. And there are just so many things that we can think about with this story. And so I'm just going to list just a few. One, even someone as solid as John the Baptist can have moments where they need reassurance from God when faced with trials. So in this case, it was prison. As we run the race set before us and we have temporary doubt or despair, Jesus meets with us with encouragement and even praise. I mean, Jesus said right after John had sent that message, "I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John." I mean, this is, don't you want to hear that praise from Jesus? That's amazing. So number two, when we find ourselves in a spiritual desert, what if God asks us the question, "What did you come to the wilderness to see?" And the times of trial are not just for suffering. They should point us to Jesus. They should bring alive for us his word. We should be able to see his miracles even more clearly. Our dependence on God should grow. And even if we are not sure that we hear God's voice through some of those trials, we can rest in that he is still there. He hasn't gone anywhere. And so many times we want to hurry up and get through the spiritual desert. It's uncomfortable. Maybe you're waiting for medical test results, or waiting for a rebellious child to return, or waiting to hear from God about an occupation change. Maybe you're trying to find our peace in times of uncertainty. Whatever it is, can we sit there in the discomfort and wait for the lesson that God will teach us? And what if waiting in the wilderness will actually reveal more than we could have even imagined? I mean, if I'm in a difficult spot, I just pray, "God, just, you know, take this away and make it quick." But maybe God needs me to sit in it for a little bit. And there's hope, but he has things to teach me. Number three, John the Baptist teaches us to bring our hard questions directly to the source. And when we are in the bonds of our own form of spiritual jail, we too can ask, Jesus, are you who you say you are? And God will not reprimand us. He encourages us. The miracles are real. Salvation is real. The plan laid out in the Bible is solid and will stand the test of time. But it's okay to have that discussion with Jesus. And if we live in humility, like John the Baptist, we take the focus off of our problems and desires. Releasing pride helps us to surrender to God. Ultimately, John's mission was to point others towards Christ. And we, too, are to share our story of spiritual transformation and to be witnesses of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. My call to action today is for you to ask yourself, what do you see in the wilderness? And I even put it on the sign outside because I thought it was such a good question. What will you learn? Trials, heartache, and waiting, all of those things are going to come. But what will you leave the desert with? Will you have a stronger character and new wisdom? When you get to the other side of the desert, will you be the same person as when you went in? A bitter person? Or a person that's been refined by the fire, ready for your next stage of your journey? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you created us to be. We are each different, and yet each of us are in your plan. Dear God, sometimes this journey we're on, sometimes it seems like a lush and beautiful journey full of fruit. But sometimes it feels like a season that is hot and dry and painful and full of loss. Dear God, help us to submit to you in all of these different seasons. And in this submission, may you refine us, strengthen us, and prepare us to do your will. We thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us to be your children and learn what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.